Good morning and welcome to Holding Fast the Faithful Word, a radio ministry of Bible Way Baptist Church right here in the small town of Auburn. This is Pastor Tim. Thanking you so much for tuning in to the program each and every Saturday and Sunday morning. Today, we are going to start the third in our series on Disciplines of a Godly Man. Of course, this study was based on the book written by Disciplines of a Godly Man by Kent Hughes. And we worked through that here at the church, and it was very profitable. We had a good turnout. The men were really interested in the subject matter, and we covered quite a few things throughout this series. And we'll be closing it off officially tomorrow. And I'm currently working on the next one, which will be on hermeneutics, and it'll be more of an institute format. So that will take place at the church and probably sometime next year. But anyway, it's pretty exciting to see what God's doing here at the church and just in general, just hearing testimonies from folks and how the Lord's been ministering to them and how they're growing in their knowledge of God and their love for the Word and just love for souls and just a desire to commune with God. To me, it just seems to make sense. If you're a child of God, you'd want to commune and spend time with Him, but it seems with some folks, they claim the title, but they don't spend any time in communion with Him. And what I mean is just time in prayer, time in His Word, time in church, time serving, just spending time talking with God, hiding Him in your heart. You know, the Bible says, sanctify the Lord thy God in your heart. A couple of weeks ago, I went to a preacher's meeting, and the theme for the meeting was Semper Reformanda, which means always reforming. And I thought it was an interesting theme, and it really kind of struck me because I'm always thinking of ways, how can we make our worship better? You know, what waste can we get rid of in our worship that's a distraction? We changed a number of things over the years. We used to do kind of a meet and greet thing, and that really was kind of a distraction to the flow of the service. And then we used to pass around the offering plate. We got rid of that. We have a box now. And just trying to really refine how we do worship. And one of the things that I added was the singing of the scripture, namely the Psalms. And my song leader is doing a really great job with that. He's really starting to introduce more scripture in that format. So we have an admixture now of Psalms or scriptures that we're singing. And of course, the old hymns. And then we do a responsive reading out of the book of Psalms as well. So the announcements take place before our worship time starts. And we really just try to keep everything Christ-centered, biblically centered, with the intent, obviously, to exalt Jesus Christ, that He be preeminent in the preaching as well. And the worship would be such that folks would not be distracted. They'd be more inclined to take notes, to remember the messages, the sermons, and be able to, you know, take home something that will help them spiritually. So there's always some aspect of changing in how we do our services. We're not trying to be pragmatic or get into all that finny stuff, you know, get rid of that stuff and just really get back to down to what the New Testament church did. When you read the book of Acts and you see how God blessed tremendously, and there were some things that were in place all the time, and that preaching of the word, studying of the word, discipleship, fellowship, communion, and serving and sharing the gospel, and those elements were present. And I think God added to that church, and I really believe that's where we need to be as a people. And so anyway, I want to get back to this. I don't want to get too off base there, but it's just some things to think about, you know, in your church, if you're a pastor and, you know, you're thinking about how the service is going and if there are ways that you can improve that service to make it more worshipful, if that makes any sense, and, you know, really find ways to exalt Christ. I'm actually contemplating doing catechism prior to the reading of the scriptures. You know, maybe just do one catechism, focus on it for 1 month, and then do number two and then number three. But I've got to do some research on that and see how that goes. But that's just what I'm thinking. Sure. And the response, at least at Bible Way, has been tremendous. Folks really, really do appreciate it. And I appreciate it. It's great seeing people hungry. They want to read something from the Bible, learn from the Bible, grow. And then, of course, the conversation is very engaging, usually after at some point of the sermon or the lesson, and, or they have a question that, you know, they came up with during the week when they were reading their Bibles. But it's good. It's good. Stay focused on the Word of God. Stay focused on Christ and watch how He blesses. And so this is our third lesson on disciplines of a godly man. And today we're going to talk about marriage and pastoring now for 17 years and being married for 30 years and being in the ministry the equal amount of time. You know, a lot of marriages struggle and some end badly. They end in divorce. And I really believe that if you are a Christian man and you are a Christian woman, there is no reason for you to get a divorce. What really needs to happen is there needs to be repentance, first and foremost, repentance of selfishness, rebellion, disobedience, and just a humility, pride, you know, repenting of all of those things and being humble, both of you, both husband and wife, humble before God and listening to what the Spirit of God says through His Word. And one of the common texts that I use when I'm talking with couples who are about to get married, and it's probably a popular one with a lot of preachers, is Ephesians chapter 5. I really believe that these verses, if read by a husband and wife and truly believed, read by a husband and a wife and truly believed and applied, then there wouldn't be any issues in the marriage that would be detrimental to it. You know, other than the usual disagreements and things that come up. But those are few and far between when both husband and wife are focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, are humble under the leadership, under the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the key. Both understanding their place and their role under the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I'll read the text and then I'll get to my notes here. So Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 22, the Bible says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle, any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." And of course, in today's feminist culture, that kind of language is extremely offensive, particularly to the women. But I go back to, and I stand behind my earlier statements that if both husband and wife, now again, with the understanding that both husband and wife are born again, children of God, adopted into the family of God, justified by faith, regenerated by the Spirit of God, have a common hope, a common salvation, and a common Savior, then they humble themselves, both, under the Lord Jesus Christ and submit themselves to Jesus's headship, the marriage will be far better for it. And usually what happens is one or the other, the husband or the wife, they go astray from the texts that I read to you just a few moments ago. And so we'll talk about marriage between a man and a woman. Not that I should state that or have to state that, but of course in today's society, that is being redefined by our wicked, perverse, depraved, degenerate culture. And so it's good to remind people, lest they let this important biblical truth slip. Marriage is between a man and a woman. There is no other marriage that is recognized by God. I'm not talking about the state. I'm talking about God. It's between a man and a woman. The scriptures are very, very clear on that. He instituted that in Genesis, and we see the pattern throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. And so with marriage, one of my greater joys in ministry is to have the privilege of marrying a young couple and watch them start their new life together. And I've had the privilege of doing that for a number of young people, and they're starting their families and having children and, you know, and raising their children and watching them teach their children. We encourage homeschooling here at Bible Way, and we have a number of families that do that, and the moms and the dads are doing great in that department. What a blessing it is. And in most of those families, we find there's an incredible closeness with the children to their parents. And so anyway, our kids were homeschooled, and my daughter is you know, off studying right now, working to get her PhD, and my son is doing great. He's in the 9th grade, and so it's good. It's fun. I really enjoy the time that I have with my kids. But I've been married 30 years. I got married back in 1993, and Wendy and I certainly seen and been through a lot, even in our marriage. You know, raising 2 children and buying a home and just, you know, the ebb and flow that goes with being married for 30 years. Most of you, or some of you anyway, would understand the many changes that take place. And it's great to have somebody alongside of me and, you know, just kind of going through these things together, not just in the home, but in the church as well. You know, having a wife that is very supportive in the ministry. But we both understand this important truth. And Wendy would certainly tell you, is that we couldn't do it without the Lord. We couldn't endure through some of the things that we did without the Lord's help, without the Lord's instruction, without his comfort, without the conviction of the Holy Spirit, without the Word of God. And these are things that we have to think about. And again, the default should always be for the, you know, Christian couple to go to the Lord, to go to the Lord, to go to the Bible, to go to prayer, to really bathe a situation, immerse it in the Word of God, immerse it in prayer, even together as a husband and wife, and watch and wait and see how the Lord works through that whole situation. I'm being very vague because it could be any number of situations that come up. It could be financial hardship. It could be a physical hardship. You know, people are dealing with cancer, maybe heart disease, diabetes. There's death, you know, in the family, you know, losing people they love, you know, friends and family, and trying to navigate through the ebb and flow of life. Trying to do that without the Lord, that's a feat that doesn't usually turn out too well for a lot of folks. But having the Lord and having the scripture, having this knowledge can certainly help us as we navigate through it. But not only that, but there are joys and there are blessings that come with a marriage that is sanctified, that is separated unto the Lord, that is in love with Jesus and in love with his word and desires nothing more than to please him. Ultimately, you know, I understand the pleasing of one another, you know, husband and wife, and it ought to be that way. But we do that within the framework of our desire to please the Lord. That text in verse 22, as unto the Lord, love your husbands as unto the Lord, as unto the Lord. And so there's an important piece there that often gets left off in contemporary marriages. And so the author Kent Hughes recalls our duties as husbands and what considerations should come into play regularly during our marriage. And one of the words of caution to those that have been married for any length of time, and this was something that I talked about with the gentleman, a number of them are, you know, they're young in their marriage. We got a couple that are less than 2 years and some just over 4 years. And I tried to encourage, keep it fresh. Keep the marriage fresh. Keep the relationship between yourself, you know, and your wife. Don't forget the things that got the initial romance ignited. You know, try to keep time set aside for each other. You know, where you maybe go on a date night or go for a walk or take a trip or spend the night, you know, in a hotel up in, say, New Hampshire and go, you know, walking around, sightseeing or go to the ocean or, I don't know, maybe take a plane trip someplace and, you know, just enjoy some time together as a couple. So keep it fresh. You know, a lot of times people, you know, husbands at work, in most cases, I understand some women work, but the husband's at work, you know, 40, 50 hours a week. He's there. He comes home. He's tired, eats, sits down, maybe, I don't know, watches the TV or reads a book or does yard work. And then, you know, there's very little conversation. Then he goes to bed, starts the process all over again the next day. And then the weekend comes and weekends come and go pretty quickly. And so you kind of lose sight of one another. And so, you know, you try to keep that in mind and be aware of it and some of the challenges that come with that kind of a busy lifestyle, because you can lose touch with one another. And that does not help to have or cultivate a healthy marriage. So there's several things the author mentioned. Number one, he mentioned that the love that we have for one another should be a sacrificial love. More specifically, the love that we have for our wives. The call here is for sacrificial love. I mean, Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And so in today's self-centered, you know, society, marriages are very self-centered, not thinking about or considering the needs of the spouse. And gentlemen, it's more than just providing a home or a car or physical things. Women need emotional care as well. And so that's an important piece that sometimes gets left out. So we have to make sure that we fulfill, you know, not only the physical aspect of it, but certainly the emotional, and you can't forget the spiritual as well. Being a godly man and leading the home in a godly way, biblical way, a Christ-honoring way. Suffering or empathy. And I think the point of the author here is that the two become one. And so you experience her grief, her sorrow, her injustices. You come to know what makes her upset. You experience her pain. You in essence, become an empath. You can tell that she's off. You can tell that she's upset. You can look in her eyes and you know that she's had a bad day with the children or just in general, you know. And so understanding the suffering and not just blowing it off and telling her to get over it, which is something that we sometimes do. They need that emotional support, a boost from their husband. Our love should be intercessory. We need to consider the fact that women are the weaker vessels. The scripture states that. And they need us, men, husbands, to consider this, especially when we go to our prayer closet. So in other words, pray for your wife. Pray for her to have strength, to have grace, to have wisdom, that she'll be able to do all the things that she desires to do and do well. You know, and if she's dealing or struggling with something, intercede on her behalf, because she may struggle praying with regards to whatever it is that she's dealing with. So we want to make sure that we keep our love intercessory. We also want to remember to keep commitments. And this case here, obviously, the commitment would be to keep your vows, to keep your marriage vows till death do you part, as the scripture states. You know, the wedding day is a day of bliss, and you know, it's joy and every celebration and all of this. And you know, then you go on your honeymoon, and then life settles in, and you get kind of in your course, and people get, husbands and wives, that is, get bored with one another, or things happen, or other forces come into play that can be divisive within a marriage. Your commitment is to your wife, and it doesn't matter. You know, sometimes people make changes because of the life changes that take place over the years. Maybe, I don't know, it could be any number of things. I've heard a lot of things, financial things, physical issues, emotional issues. You know, there's just so much. And people just kind of throw in the towel and they give up. The marriage doesn't have the freshness to it anymore. That's another thing. It's just, it's not what it was when we first married. And that's what I meant when I said earlier, keeping it fresh. You know what I mean? Recognizing, whoa, things is getting a little stale here. We got to fix this. We got to do something different. We've got to get outside the box, so to speak, and go do something different. You know, even if you go for a ride, go for a ride, go to a lake, sit on a bench, you know, skip rocks, buy her a rose or a box of chocolates or whatever. Pick her up, carry her, and I don't know, love on her. You just keep it fresh. And you know, rich or poor, sickness and in health, and that's what we need to do. Colossians 3, verse 14 says, put on love. Put on love. Love on your wife through thick and thin. I think that's the main point there. Fidelity, stay faithful to your wife. A wife's contentment comes from knowing that you are faithful to them. Our eyes, thoughts, and hearts are to be faithful to our wives. Communication is a big one. Set aside time to talk to your wife. I understand everybody's busy. There's a big to-do list, and she's on that list. I'm going to talk to her, but it's probably on the bottom of the list, and you never get that far down on the list. Make time to talk to your wife. Even if it's a short 10-minute talk, have a conversation with your wife. Ask her what's going on. You know, what are her burdens? What are her concerns? Joys, sorrows. How's your day? You know, don't forget to tell her how beautiful she looks. Always remember to do that. Tell your wife how beautiful she is. Doesn't matter what time of day either, gentlemen. Tell your wife how beautiful she is. Then set aside time for romance. Find time to be with her outside the norm. You know, just find time to be with her. Go out to eat, have a date night. Let her know how much you love her, how much you care, and how much you appreciate all that she does in the marriage, in the home, with the children, just in the relationship in general. Make sure you do that, all right? Now, I'm going to close it out here, but next week's will be on fatherhood. And this proved to be a pretty interesting subject as well with the gentleman. We've got some young dads, and their children are still very small, so you know, as they grow older, a lot of things change, and just some things to encourage dads to consider as they look after their young sons and daughters. All right, take care, and the Lord bless you.